Let's go get an update on winter sports at Michigan High Schools. Mark Yule, Executive Director of the MHSAA, is joining us from East Lansing. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing okay, Bill. Hey, I have to mention, so you mentioned the Beat Huge contest. This is going to show my Grand Rapids roots and the fact that I'm getting really old. Is I can remember growing up that back when the Grand Rapids Press went out every day in a print version, Bob Becker, who was the longtime sports editor for the Grand Rapids Press, it was a Beat Becker contest. And every, I think it was on Monday, they would have all the games for the following weekend, and you literally had to fill out your picks for the week, cut the part of the newspaper out, put it in an envelope, send it in, and if you beat them, they would send you a bumper sticker, which as an 11-year-old I thought was the coolest thing ever. So it's good to hear that over in at least West Michigan, the Beat Huge is following in those footsteps and makes the football season that much more interesting.
Yeah, I remember that too, man. I would follow Beat Becker, and he was Bob the longtime AD back when newspapers gave you great columns and great stories, and
exactly
it's a different
right.
world with, you know, online and everything we have at our fingertips now. But yeah, Beat Becker. So I just basically stole that name, inserted Huge, and we've done it for over a decade. So
beautiful.
Thanks for exposing my thievery. I appreciate that. People are like, hey, how'd you come up with Beat Huge? I don't know. We had a couple of meetings, and Superfly said, let's do Beat Huge. I'm like, no one's done that before, but it is a cool contest. People can play at thehugeshow.net. So good news for winter sports athletes at Michigan High Schools. Is that what I'm reading from your press release earlier today?
It is. You know, when you really get to the end of the story, there are three facts that we're hearing from schools and from medical professionals over and over this fall, that COVID is not being spread during the school day. COVID is not being spread at athletic practices after school. And COVID is not being spread during games, not just from teammate to teammate, but more importantly, from opponent to opponent. Where it is, certainly our numbers are trending in a negative direction. And when it comes to school-age kids, where we are seeing the spread, it's the events that are connected to sports. It's the team dinners. It's the weekend team bonding experiences. It's the parents hosting the fifth quarter parties after, you know, games tonight, and everybody goes and orders food and grabs chips all from the same bowl as everybody stands around and watches the scores and highlights. It's, and often without masks and not social distancing. It's those kind of events right now that are really putting the crunch, not just on school sports, but on a lot of school districts being able to continue in-person education right now. So given the lessons that we've learned here over the last 2 months, our council yesterday met, and we have confidence that we're going to take the successes that we've had this fall. Certainly there have been positive COVID cases, and we've had teams and individuals that have had to quarantine and have had to pause during the season. But the reality, Bill, is we knew that this would have to become part of the new normal, the new reality, if we were to continue to manage the virus, but yet keep kids engaged and active. And it was a tough needle to thread. And while we've had lots of challenges and hurdles, all in all, a solid fall. And we're going to take some of those lessons here as we move toward winter.
All right. So for parents, coaches, student athletes across Michigan listening right now, is it just business as usual with winter sports? What are some of the guidelines you and your executive council came up with that were released today?
I think you can really put them into three different groups or hoppers. So the first big headline for winter is that winter practices and competition schedules are going to start on time. There was a suggestion that, you know, we've gotten from many corners of the state that, you know what, not that we've got any specific data to point to, just other than, you know, case numbers going up, but nothing specific in the athletic realm. But, you know what, maybe we should wait on winter sports until after the first of the year. Well, while I understand the logic on one hand, the fear would have been that if we just get out of the environment for the months of November and December, and no disrespect to our non-school programs out there, But in the AAU club travel world, Bill, we would have created a brand new 2-month-long season where you would have kids who are now playing on that non-school basketball team or that non-school hockey team or these independent wrestling events that would have cropped up while we were, you know, kind of on hiatus, so to speak. And you would have kids from different school districts, different counties, different regions, mixing with each other at practices and competitions during weeknights and the weekends, which then would make schools being able to continue face-to-face education come Monday morning each week more challenging, not easier. So the thing we heard, and we firmly believe this, and this has been a theme going back to the summer, we firmly believe that kids are safest in our school programs with trained professional educators, with the safety protocols that must be followed, with accountability to athletic directors who are accountable to school principals and superintendents and ultimately school boards. So headline number one is practices and winter competitions are going to start on time. The second big takeaway is, much like the fall, we've got some restrictions in place for our winter sports. It's not just going to be business as usual. That in our tournament-type sports, wrestling, competitive cheer, gymnastics, those events are going to be limited to no more than 4 teams at a site. So just as we reduce the large-scale volleyball tournaments during the fall, those sports that tend to be tournament-type sports in the winter is going to follow the same thing. We limit the number of individuals at a bowling center because bowling is a winter sport for us, as well as outdoors with ski. And we don't have a limit per se in the sports of basketball and ice hockey because at the high school level, Bill, teams can only play one game in a day. So as each game is being played, there's strict spectator limits. There's all the safety protocols that have to be followed. And when one game ends, whether that's the freshman basketball game, we'll clear that facility. We'll then bring in those that are involved in the JV game and then on to the varsity. Or if it's at the ice rink, it'd be the same thing as hockey teams rotate through. So, and also with that, just like the fall, there's no scrimmages. So that the only time we're going to be getting kids and coaches from different schools together is when it matters, when it's for official games, competitions, or contests. And then really the third big headline from the winter, even though right now that Health and Human Service guidance allows indoor groups to be all the way up to 500 if a facility allows it, we're going to start winter sports, Bill, with a 2-spectator per participant limit. We think that it's important with the data going up. Again, we're not getting the feedback that COVID is being spread from our kids during practices or games, but a lot of times it's the people attached to it. It's the adults, and I just think to send the right message that at least for the first 2 months through November and December, if you've got a child that's a winter athlete, just as we started off the fall, spectators will be 2 per participant, and hopefully we can all do the right things. We can get these numbers turned in the other direction, and then after the first of the year, we can all come back, and hopefully then we'll be able to move closer to that 500 indoor number or even higher if conditions allow. So starting practices and games on time is takeaway number one. We've got the limitations of large tournaments, invitationals, no scrimmages, and then last but not least, and do know that our fall guidelines, so with volleyball districts just around the corner, with football playoffs starting next week, soccer and cross-country tournaments really getting into full swing, the fall limitations are going to remain unchanged. So that train is going to continue to head down on its set of tracks. But when it comes to winter sports, which are all indoors except for downhill skiing, we're going to start the year off on the right foot, 2 spectators per participant, and we'll see where things take us from there.
And the mask rule, will that be in effect for all winter sports like it was in the fall outside of the socially distant sports?
It is, and of course, I'm just holding my breath here to see my emails increase. Do know that we're simply following the guidance from the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services that when it comes right now to athletic activity under organized sports, that in those sports where you can guarantee social distancing at all times, a face covering does not have to be worn. So, for example, if you're a bowler and you're in the bowling center, you've got to have your mask on as you arrive, during warm-ups, all those other times. But now when a young man or a young woman, it's their turn to bowl, they can get up on the approach, they could take their mask off or remove it, because they are guaranteed, it's one sport, Bill, you don't need an opponent or even a teammate. You're up there by yourself. You've got the at least 6 feet of social distancing. You go ahead and make your throw. After the student completes that, the mask goes back up, and then they head back to the bullpen area where they're at. So just know that each sport is going to be handled a little bit differently. When it's a sport like ice hockey or basketball, where you can't social distance at all times, except for, I think, what the language still uses for fleeting and occasional moments, that currently in basketball and ice hockey and wrestling being three of the examples, of face covering has to be worn. Now, do know that the current Health and Human Services guidance, that order expires at the end of October, which is before any of our winter sport practices begin. So the guidance we put out today, Bill, is assuming if winter practice was starting today, here's the deal, but knowing that over the next week to 10 days, we could see different guidance, we could see new guidance, and as you and I have said over and over since March, we'll continue to be flexible and nimble, and as conditions and directives for us change, our guidance would change as well.
I assume there's going to be a lot of pushback on wrestling. How do you keep a mask on when these guys and girls are on the mat? And basketball, with the constant cardio side of that back and forth. I know soccer could socially distance and they could take a break and put the mask down if they were by themselves or chasing a ball to a corner. But I assume you've already had some pushback and wondering why you need to wear a mask with basketball. And then the other thing with hockey, with the helmets, like with football, could that face shield qualify as a face covering?
It could. So, yeah, ice hockey really becomes quite simple to where, you know, it's another, what I kind of created a new category of helmeted sports. And, you know, come spring, Bill, if we've got the same requirements in place, I could see boys lacrosse doing the same thing, that face shield on the lacrosse helmet or hockey helmet, and obviously currently with the football helmet that works. I think the two sports that are getting the most attention are basketball and wrestling. We're right now, because by the way, these restrictions apply to all levels of amateur sport in our state. So that's why, over on campus here in town, with the Spartans, that we understand that all of their basketball practices and workouts are with the face coverings on. The same in Ann Arbor. We're getting input from what wrestling is doing at the collegiate level in our state. We understand we're going to get pushback and concerns. Hear you loud and clear, but like I said, we're just following the guidance, and as we've said during the fall, if there are some sports to where the two options are face covering and we can play, or no face covering and we can't play, we're going to make that choice that we're going to be able to play. That's just what we've started in the fall. That's what we continue to hear from kids going into the winter. We'll just see how this plays out, but that's where we're at as of October the 23rd.
Mark Huell, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, joining us on the Huell Show across Michigan with the latest on winter sports set to start on time with many of the same COVID-19 safety precautions that are in place and were in place for the fall. I will say my Suns, Forest Hills Eastern, 8th grade middle school football team wrapped up a 4-0 shortened season, had no issues with COVID-19, did not lose one player because of COVID-19 or had to quarantine. So I salute the youth coaches, the high school coaches, those trained educators, the trainers, the principals, the superintendents, the support staff, and the parents. I think considering how many kids went back and had that opportunity this fall to play sports at the youth, high school, and college level, I think the state of Michigan has done a heck of a job, Mark. I really do.
hasn't been perfect. It hasn't been easy, but you know, as I make the rounds in my mask and trying to get to as many places where I can, and you just see kids acting like normal kids again, to where it's the highs of success, the lows of you know, that temporary failure, but at the end of games, it's you know, the handshakes are now are virtual from 5 yards away or so. But I can tell you that just seeing with what this has done for our kids this fall, and hopefully we'll continue into the winter, has made all the challenges and hurdles worth it.
Yeah, kudos to you, your executive council, and your team at the Michigan High School Athletic Association. And Mark, I was so touched by the officials and their ability to help have the games go on that I do one game a year, PA, for my son's 8th grade football team, or every year he plays, and I made sure I had both sides stand up and give the officials a standing ovation for their efforts through this pandemic to allow our kids to play sports. And then when I was done with the standing ovation, I said it may be the first time you've ever heard a public address announcer anywhere in Michigan say, I want to thank the officials for a job well done.
And this is amazing, Bill. So it's COVID has now turned into an officiating guy for you. So that is is fantastic.
You might want to listen to the FHE Hawks TV network from some of the games this year. I don't think. I think maybe my salute was a little bit of guilt that was rising when I was sitting there at Hawk Stadium going, you know what? I don't have to tell another official he needs to eat a bowl of carrots. Okay. On a serious note, though, it was a total team effort, and it still is as we transition from the fall championships to the winter sports. And I have kids at all different levels, and from MFA and their travel soccer to my son and his 8th grade football team, which was part of Forest Hills Youth Football, watching Forest Hills Eastern and every school we've been connected to, and watching your team work together. I really mean it. From where we were in early September thinking we would have nothing to what we have right now defines the spirit of your office and the people of Michigan.
It's been a team effort, and Bill, appreciate all your help and support. You've been a big part of us being able to communicate the changes and the things that we've had to kind of adjust on the fly again. Not just us and our team. There's been a lot of partners around the state, and you've been a big part of that, too.
You just might want to warn the officiating crew for Forest Hills Eastern and Middleville tonight. Watch out. Bill and Bobby Mitchell are doing the game on the Hawks TV network.
They have been fairly warned, and where your kids go, and Thornapple Kellogg there in Middleville was the last school I was at before I joined the staff here in 2004. So, I'm sure that'll be a great game tonight.
And also what's good about not having a shortened end to the season with all the teams qualifying for the playoffs, that's something that these seniors and all these kids and coaches can take with them forever, that their final year for those seniors, some of them who are juniors and lost winter championships and spring championships, that they can say no matter what their team record was and as long as they were COVID-19 cleared, that they finish their high school career as a playoff team. And 20 years from now, when they're with their family and friends talking about it, they'll just be known as a playoff football team.
That's right. And you can get those T-shirts printed off of a 2020 playoff qualifier. And seriously, Bill, the biggest thing, because you and I have talked about it on air before, the kids last winter and last spring got no closure. And that's the thing, that even going into next week and, you know, with everybody in, some folks have said, well, gosh, you're going to have some really lopsided first-round games when the 1 seed is playing the 8 seed and the 2 versus 7. You know what? And I get that completely. But unlike the spring in last winter, win, lose, or draw, kids are going to be able to, in just about all cases, be able to finish their season where they should. That's on the field, getting the closure that I just think is really, really important.
That's what I felt Wednesday night. It wasn't what the score read between Comstock Park and their 8th graders and Forest Hills Eastern and their 8th graders. It was unbelievable. Everybody could share in a shortened 4-game season that we didn't think was going to happen. And to me, at the end of the day, that's what sports is all about. Mark, keep up the great work. Keep us posted, okay?
Will do. Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, Mark Ewell. I think the Michigan High School Athletic Association, I know a lot of you are going to complain about the mask, okay? Hey, our kids got through it, okay? Didn't they in the fall? I know I'm one of those guys, too. But you need to step back. And I did that Wednesday night when I was doing the PA. And I almost get emotional talking about it right now. Because I know what being able to play meant, not to me as a parent, but what it meant to my son Ace and the rest of that eighth grade Hawk football team. Forget the final score. Forget what they did or didn't do or stats or numbers. That through a pandemic, the Forest Hills Youth Football Board, I know Matt Tidgen was pushing to have a season. I look at high school and I see Mark Ewell. And yeah, we can all find something to complain about. Officials, game time, why did we get three home games and they got one? We can go down the list. But at the end of the day, I just finished a conversation with Mark talking about winter sports starting on time. All of them. No one left out. No uncertainty. And yes, the uncertainty can lie with this pandemic, but it will be on the Department of Health and Human Services. And they follow their guidelines. And right now, winter sports are on at all Michigan high schools. And that's a beautiful thing.